For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Shalom, and welcome to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. Now here's your host, IBJM Ministries Director, John Lawrence.
Greetings to our friends. This is John Lawrence, your host for the program today. I wanted to share with you today a quick update on some of the things that are happening in our ministries, and I particularly want to share today a new church that's being planted in the metropolitan New York City area by one of our workers, that is Jerry Dumoulin and his wife Erin. And they are planting a church that's called Discovery Baptist Church. They had a preview service, that is a service to let people know that they're establishing this church, last Sunday afternoon, that is a short time ago, and they met at the Hampton Inn in Central Valley, New York. There were 7 children and 26 adults who came to the service that Sunday. Praise the Lord. They're going to have another preview service in February, and after that, they are going to launch the church on a regular basis. So they'll be looking at the location and the time and a few other things, but right now they're meeting in the area of a town called Kiryat Joel, which is in the metropolitan New York area. It's a bit of a distance outside New York City. It's a community that includes a lot of Orthodox Jewish people, including many Hasidic Jews. And they are trying to reach that Hasidic population. That's a tough challenge with the gospel. We praise God for how he is working there. Jerry and Erin just arrived there last November, and they've been planning the work. But we are excited that for this young church, their first meeting, that there were that many adults who attended, 26. They were also able to make contacts with people in the area who have some Jewish friends, and that is a great answer to prayer for them. One contact they had actually said that he had many friendships with the Hasidic Jewish people in Kiryas Joel. He even invited one of the Jewish men from there to the service that day. Of course, they didn't attend, but we have to pray that God will bless this work and that the Lord will reach some of these Hasidic Jews through the work of this church. Of course, that takes time. It takes an investment of energy. You have to work with them, and they don't show up the first Sunday. But you know what? Jewish people around the world are being saved. Jewish people from all sorts of traditions are coming to know the Messiah. So pray for this new work, Discovery Baptist Church. They also had 3 people at the meeting who were actually interested in becoming members, that is, charter members of the church. And so Jerry is having a meeting with them to explain what that entails. There will be a membership class, what they call a discovery class, to share more about what it means to be a member of a new Baptist church. So please continue to pray with them. Pray for Jerry and Erin, and that they will have boldness in sharing their faith, and that their next meeting in February sometime will be a real blessing, and that maybe even more people will come out. Then we also had a new church plant all the way across the world in South Africa. Brother David DeBrain, who's now the pastor of Covenant Baptist Church, which was founded by our general director and president here, Dr. Ed Frampton, that church, close to 200 people now, just launched a new church plant. That new church is being planted on the south side of Johannesburg, that is, by their associate pastor, whose name is Brother Dave Duncan. He took 30 of those church people, and they are planting One Hope Baptist Church. And that church is being planted there in an area where there is no good, solid, fundamental Baptist church, and there is a group of 30 solid people going out from the other church to plant that work with Brother Dave. And there are also people who have a heart to reach Jewish people. Pray for these two works, will you? And ask the Lord to bless them and to further them. And we'll look forward to what the Lord will do and to hearing more about the progress of these two works. Now let's listen today to Brother Mark Oshman as he brings our Bible lesson today.
Thank you for listening to our radio programs about Bible-based decision-making. These messages have a basis in a series of sermons delivered by Pastor Brent Boffman from Stanley Heights Baptist Church in Eastridge, Tennessee. In our last segment, we looked at the principle of exaltation, namely that believers should always engage in those activities which glorify God. In this broadcast, we'll examine a third principle of Bible-based decision-making, the principle of transformation. Before making decisions, Christians should ask themselves, will this choice result in further conforming me to the image of Jesus Christ? Paul clearly set forth this doctrine in the opening verses of Romans chapter 12. Quote, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Unquote. As living sacrifices, believers should have entirely dedicated themselves unto the service of God. Therefore, they have assigned God the right to do anything he wants with their lives. The Greek verb translated as transform appeared elsewhere in Paul's writings. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he used that word in connection with the devil, making himself to appear as an angel of light. Paul also employed that term in Philippians 3, with reference to how Jesus Christ will transform the bodies of believers. One 19th century Bible commentator compared such an alteration to the natural process by which a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. Within the context of Romans chapter 12, however, this analogy does have its flaws. A transformation from a caterpillar to a butterfly is permanent. At no time will the body of the butterfly ever return to its earlier caterpillar form. In connection with a Christian, though, transformation functions as a process whereby the believer continually undergoes change in being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Paul wrote more about this transformation in the third chapter of 2 Corinthians. Quote, but we all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Unquote. The apostle's language there suggested that the process of transformation operates in stages. When individuals receive Jesus Christ the Savior, they experience an immediate change in their status. As Paul put it in Colossians chapter 1, God immediately removes them from the power of darkness and places them into the kingdom of his dear Son. From that point, however, Christians undergo a divinely ordained process designed to make them, as it were, miniature Jesuses. In his second epistle, Peter described how believers should develop Christian character. Quote, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Unquote. Each of the terms used by that apostle indicated a vital building block for a believer to develop Christ-likeness. Virtue depicted any moral excellence, such as purity. Paul employed that same Greek word for virtue in Philippians chapter 4, when exhorting those believers to think upon, quote, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, unquote. Knowledge involved the proper application of biblical principles to a Christian's daily living. Believers can obtain such knowledge by studying the Bible, meditating upon its precepts. They ought to adopt the attitude found in Psalm 119, where the author asks God, quote, teach me good judgment and knowledge, unquote. The Greeks utilized the word rendered as temperance to denote self-control. Temperance defined the ability of an individual to exercise self-discipline in every facet of that person's life, particularly with regard to passions and desires. In the fifth chapter of Galatians, Paul listed temperance as one of the fruits of the Spirit. The word for patience comes from a Greek verb that literally meant to remain underneath. Patience denoted the willingness of people to remain true to their core beliefs, even in spite of trials and temptations. Paul linked this virtue of patience with experience and hope in the 5th chapter of Romans. He described them as positive byproducts of tribulation. Godliness involved a person's commitment to molding life after the character of God, as the scriptures reveal that to be. Paul utilized the Greek word for godliness when he informed Timothy, quote, "Godliness with contentment is great gain," unquote. Brotherly kindness referred to the love that Christians ought to bear for one another. In his epistles to the Romans and Thessalonians, Paul addressed the subject of brotherly kindness. In the 13th chapter of Hebrews, the author instructed his readers, quote, "Let brotherly kindness continue," unquote. According to the first chapter of 1 Peter, brotherly kindness resulted from obeying the truth through the Holy Spirit. The final character trait, charity, described that love that God himself manifested toward the world when he sent Jesus Christ. According to John chapter 15, the Savior himself used this word when speaking to his disciples in the upper room. Quote, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another," unquote. Christians who possess the qualities mentioned above will become like Jesus Christ. Over the course of the Savior's time on earth, he demonstrated every one of those traits. A study of the New Testament illustrates the degree to which Jesus Christ served as a role model for believers in connection with Christian virtue. The Savior showed his virtue, according to the 8th chapter of John, in that he always did those things which please God. Indeed, God publicly endorsed his Son, declaring, quote, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," unquote. Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus Christ exhibited knowledge. In the first chapter of Mark, the author noted that those who heard Jesus Christ were astonished at his doctrine because, quote, "He taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes," unquote. The Lord displayed his temperance by repeatedly thwarting the devil's enticements in the wilderness. Whenever the prince of evil asked him to do something that would betray his father, compromise his principles, Jesus Christ responded by quoting verses from the book of Deuteronomy. By wielding the sword of the Spirit in that fashion, Jesus Christ defeated the devil. The Savior demonstrated his patience during his trial before the Jewish leaders. Despite repeated false accusations made against him, Jesus Christ refused to defend himself. Perhaps Peter reflected on his Savior's ordeals when he advised his readers, quote, "But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God," unquote. Godliness comprised one of the Savior's primary character traits. The author of Hebrews reminded his readers that Jesus Christ was, quote, "the brightness of his, the Father's, glory, and the express image of his, the Father's, person," unquote. Jesus Christ also showed brotherly kindness. In Luke chapter 8, somebody had told him about his mother and brothers waiting to see him. The Lord replied, quote, "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it," unquote. Throughout the course of his ministry, Jesus Christ exemplified charity. He loved the man who came running to him, asking him about how to inherit eternal life. Jesus Christ also loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus in Bethany. In John chapter 15, he stated how he loved his disciples, just as his Father loved him. Christians can develop these godly virtues by submitting to God. As they do so, he will grant them increased discernment in their decision-making processes. In short, God will enable them to determine whether a particular course of action will bring them closer to the world or bring them closer unto God. Thank you very much for listening to this message. We invite you to please come back for another session of Bible-based decision-making.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee, 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.